joined us for worship this morning and a time in God's Word. For those of you who are joining us for the very first time, we are so glad that you are here. Allow me to tell you that you are our VSG, our very special guest. Let's welcome our guests this morning. Also, we'd like to welcome those who are watching us online. It is just a pleasure to have all of you guys, ladies and gentlemen, here this morning. Today is December the 4th. Can you believe that? No, I can't either. December the 4th. And for me personally, from Thanksgiving through the end of December, it is my absolute favorite time of year. The decorations, the lights, the exchanging of gifts, the time spent with family and friends, the opportunities for us to reach out to those who are less fortunate. I just love it. But I have a grave concern, and that is that many miss completely the reason we're celebrating. Amen? Amen? My message for today is titled, Searching for Christmas. But before we begin today's message, let's take a look at our opening scripture. It'll be in your sermon notes. It's found in Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. And I want you to listen to his words from Galatians 4:4. Galatians 4:4, it says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. Now, I want everybody to read it with me, please. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. Now, allow me, if you will, to expand it just a little bit. When the right time came, the time set by the Father in heaven, he sent us his son, born of a woman, born under the law. He sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Now that would make me want to shout. How about the rest of you? Come on, church. Well, that was kind of anemic this morning, but I would like you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's word. And instead of reading 20 verses like I did last week, I'm only going to read 3. Okay, Luke 15, starting in verse 8 through verse 10. Jesus speaking in the Gospel of Luke, he says, what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. And Jesus responds, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Could we pray together, please? Gracious Father, we just so exciting about this time of year and just all the opportunities we have to share you with others. And Father, we thank you for the praise and worship this morning, Lord. And we know that you inhabit the praises of your people. And Father God, this morning as your word is preached, I pray, Lord God, that you would give me the words, that you would speak through me, Lord God. Use me as a vessel, as a conduit. Help me to speak clearly. And Lord God, give the people ears to hear what you are saying to them. And we will praise you and give you glory. And all of God's people said in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How many of you guys have been to one of our Christmas Eve services? They are absolutely off the chart. Christmas Eve, we will be having a service at 5 and at 7. And also, we will be having a Christmas choir. Now, our Christmas choir will begin practicing this Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and they will be on a platform right here. So if you're interested in singing in the Christmas choir, just show up. You don't have to be a professional singer, but just willing to come and make a joyful noise to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay, back to our message for today. Our question for today is one that I believe is especially important to ask ourselves this time of year. It's in your notes. The question for today, could we be in danger of losing Christmas? Could we be in danger losing Christmas? Now, what I'd like to do for the next 20 minutes or so is to draw 3 parallels between our scripture and our message this morning. And the question that we are attempting to answer, I'll draw parallels to our scripture. Point number one, something of great value appears to be lost. In our text, a woman has 10 silver coins, and one appears to be lost. Our story does not tell us how she lost it, but we do know that it was very valuable to her, and it was a significant loss. It was a single silver coin, a drachma equal in value to a denarius, which is a day's wage for a worker in that time. Now, maybe this single silver coin was part of an emergency fund that she used to make critical purchases. Or perhaps it was part of a necklace of 10 coins worn as a headband that signified that this woman was married. Now, to lose one of those coins would be to ruin the necklace and shame the woman. It was like losing the stone out of a wedding ring. I remember one time playing football in my backyard a number of years ago that I lost my wedding ring. And we got down on the grass and we looked because it was a dear thing to me. So we really looked carefully. And that's the same with this coin that this woman lost. Now, as I said, I believe we are in danger, could be in danger of losing Christmas. Now, though it's the biggest and most popular of all our holidays, I believe it is in jeopardy all the same. Sure, the lights, the decorations, the ubiquitous blow-up snowmen, you ever seen them? Okay, the reindeer, the Santas once again dominate our landscape. And though harmless in of themselves, I believe they reflect the growing tendency that we have to secularize Christmas. And then we have the parties, the drinking, the self-indulgence, the extreme spending, the obscene gluttony, the hedonism, which characterizes how much of the world celebrates Christmas. Now, the things that I have mentioned are not hard to document. Just stop in at any mall, amen? Go to an office party this time of year and just check that out. Or even the so-called Christmas shows that come on TV. You ever watch any of them? The Christmas shows. When I watch them, one thing is noticeably missing, and that is Christmas. Try to imagine in your notes that you are someone that has never heard of Christ or Christmas. What message would you get from what you are seeing? Worse yet, what do you think our Lord thinks of what's going on? Can we rationalize all this self-indulgent excess by calling it a celebration of Christ's birth? Now, sure, some of the things we engage in at this time of year are good, are wholesome, like family time with friends and family. I like that. And isn't Christmas the one time of year when people of every persuasion, religious or not, celebrate some of the highest of human values, values like peace and brotherhood and charity and kindness? You know, we put all other things on hold. We gather with our families and give gifts to one another as we commemorate the holiday. But, say but for me, but, when it's all said and done, do these things capture the essence of Christmas or fall far short of what Christmas is really about? Point number two, when something of great value appears to be lost, you look for it. You search for it. As Luke tells us in a story, the woman looks diligently for that she thinks is lost. And when a casual search doesn't locate her lost coin, when a quick glance fails to reveal that which is missing, our text tells us that she takes the search to the next level. It tells us to carry on a desperate search, that it was necessary for this woman to light a lamp so that she could see in every corner, every crack of her house. And then she proceeds to sweep the entire house, the hard-packed, dusty, dirt floor. She searches carefully, intensely, for that which was lost. So like the woman in the story, I thought I would go out into the public space, public square, and see if I could find Christmas anywhere. So in your notes, I set out on a quest to find Christmas. So on the day after Thanksgiving, I believe they call it Black Friday, is that correct? Okay. I began my search, and I thought I would start at Annapolis Mall. Can you believe that? Now, I guess any mall might work in a fairly affluent area, but I started at Annapolis Mall, and the first thing I noticed was that the parking lot was over full. It was extremely hard to find a parking place, and some people got a little upset if you pulled in front of them. The place was slammed with people. They were supposed to be Christmas shopping, these people. Surely, I thought, I would be able to find Christmas there. And as I enter, I see parents with their children waiting to see the Claus man. Cute. The decorations were there and all this Christmas activity. I believed if I looked carefully, I knew I would find it. I start in a well-known card store. Decorations, ornaments everywhere. Ornaments of ice skates, penguins, ballerinas, Star Wars figures, maybe a few angels, but no Christmas. I went to the back of the store and checked out their cards. Snowy scenes, trees, sleighs, ornaments, decorated homes. Wait! There was a few cards that had Christmas on them, that contained the Christmas story. And after this minor success, I again entered the mall. So many people. As I walked through the mall, I noticed a store which bore the name Christmas Memories. And with a name like that, I just knew that Christmas would be in there. As I approach, I look at the window display. It's not very promising, just some Santa stuff and some Christmas trees. But I enter anyway, a large store with walls and aisles of ornaments and decorations, probably more ornaments than I've ever seen in my life at one time in one place. Yet they remain the same. Snowmen, cute little angels, snowflakes, bicycles, musical instruments, even fruit. But no Christmas. However, after a careful search, I find two displays that sort of represent the true meaning of Christmas. One small display stuck off in a corner of ornaments made out of olive wood, which were made in Bethlehem. And then a larger one, which to some degree represented the true meaning of Christmas. There it is. So it was there. The store was big. It was a big store. Though encouraged by what I found, a very small percentage of the store was used to reflect the true meaning of Christmas. And since this was the Christmas store, I must say I believe that thus far I'd found graphic evidence of how Christmas is slipping away from us. Now, the mall is full of people, so I thought I would take my quest right to the people. So I decided to ask 100 people at random, okay, why do we celebrate Christmas? I really did. Someone at the first service said, Pastor, did you really ask 100 people? And I said, I will not stand up on this platform and fib. Their answers, I have to admit, were somewhat encouraging, though some were a little hesitant to speak it. 73 out of the 100 said that Christmas was about Jesus or the celebration of his birth. Oh. 27 gave other answers like family and gifts. Four of them said, I don't know why. And two said, we don't because we're Jewish. Now, overall, I was pleased with the results of my little survey. Now, the Pew Research Institute says 92% of Americans and 81% of non-Christians celebrate Christmas. And about 73% believe that the traditional Christmas story is based on actual historical events. How about that, 73%? Hear me, church, in your notes, what Christmas is really about is the birth of Jesus, God's only Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, there was a haunting newspaper story from a number of years ago from a Boston newspaper. It seemed that a wealthy Boston family had a christening party for their newborn baby. They invited all their friends and their relatives to their magnificent home to celebrate the birth of their precious child. And about a half an hour into the party, when it was time to bring the baby out for everyone to see, the mother made a tragic discovery. You see, the large bed where she had left the baby sleeping was piled high with coats from her guests. The lifeless child was lying underneath, suffocated by the carelessly discarded wraps. Now, this pathetic scene, I believe, perfectly illustrates what the world has done with Christmas. Lost in there is the realization that Christmas is, first of all, the celebration of the Savior's birth. Often, he is all but forgotten, cruelly and thoughtlessly smothered in all the stuff, all the haste, and all the commotion that now accompanies the holiday celebration. Point number three, when you find what you've been looking for, you celebrate. Back to our text in Luke, after her diligent search, the woman in our story found what was lost. And after she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors. Listen to her words. She says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost." Perhaps you've been missing Christmas. You may decorate the tree. You may put up the lights. You may exchange the gifts, eat a big dinner, spend time with family and friends. But you know in your heart that you've been missing the reality of Christmas. Well, I've got some good news for you. The truth is, you never have to miss Christmas again. But for that to happen, you must see beyond the familiar landscape of the holiday and realize that at its heart, Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation of God. Amen? Come on, church, give him praise this morning. Now, don't get me wrong, and don't misunderstand. I'm not suggesting that there's anything wrong with putting up decorations. In fact, yesterday, my wife had me up on the ladder hanging up decorations all over the house, okay? We also set outside our herd of lighted deer, amen? We also put the manger scene under the tree and put a spotlight on that. We also bought two of those laser lights. You know what I'm talking about? Those laser lights that shine the stuff all over the house. So don't misunderstand. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with putting up decorations, exchanging gifts, or spending time with family or friends. All of those things add to the joy of the season. But without the true reason for the season, they alone are inadequate responses to the reality of the Savior's birth. Amen? At Christmas, we celebrate the greatest gift ever given, the gift of God's own Son. Scripture tells us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. He so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It was a gift of love for an unworthy world. A gift that captures his great love for us. It's a gift that everyone needs. You'll never take it back. It's a gift that even with all your work and effort, you could never earn it. No matter how good you are, you could never deserve it. It's the gift of gifts. It's the gift of grace. It's the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. At that first Christmas, the shepherds worshiped him, and we should worship him too, amen? That's what Christmas is about, worshiping our Savior. The wise men brought him gifts. Likewise, at Christmas, we give gifts to those we love. But in your notes, have you ever considered giving Jesus a gift on his birthday? Have you ever considered giving Jesus a gift on his birthday? No. God gave us the greatest Christmas gift of all time. He gave us his Son. And Jesus, his Son, gave us his all. He died. He gave his life for us. What would be an appropriate gift for us to bring to him on his birthday? I believe that every year with the increased secularization and commercialization of Christmas, it gets harder. It gets harder to keep oneself focused on the true reason that we celebrate. And if we are not careful, Christmas could get lost in all the other trappings of the holiday. So let's take one more quick look at today's scripture. In our scripture, it tells us that there was great joy in the heart of the woman when she found what was lost. And then Jesus gives us these words in verse 10 of our scripture. He says, "Likewise, in the same way, count on it, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." When someone who was lost is found, and Paul wrote these words in his second letter to the church in Corinth. He said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And shouldn't that be our response to Christmas? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, if your heart is not overwhelmed with gratitude and thanks for God's gift, for a gift that is too precious for words, I believe you're missing the whole point as to why we celebrate Christmas. God's gift of Christmas is available to all. but I'm deeply concerned that many are really missing it. So, how should we respond? How should we respond to the gift of God's own Son? How else can we respond but by giving ourselves, our hearts, and our lives completely to Him? And when you do, not only will there be joy in the presence of angels, but John 16, 22 tells us that your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. If like so many, whether they realize it or not, you are searching for Christmas, I have good news for you this morning. Good news. You can find the reality of Christmas, Jesus the Christ, right here, right now, in this place, today. Amen? I'm going to ask you all, if you bow your head, the worship team can come on up if they want. We're going to pray together. I want you to repeat after me, everyone here, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your Son as a gift for us on that first Christmas. Lord, I'm so grateful. I thank you for your gift of love, that you would send your only Son to earth to die, to pay the penalty for my sins. And this Christmas, I don't want to miss it. So this morning, I want to give you my life, I want to give you my heart, and I want to give you my all. I never want to miss Christmas again. I thank you for this time of year. But help me to always remember, it's about the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord, in whom I place my trust and my faith. And I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, could we give him praise, church? Don't miss it. Don't let all the stuff suffocate, cover the true meaning of Christmas. Christmas is about Jesus. 73% of random people knew that at the mall. And I believe 100% of everybody in here knows that today. Can we give him praise? Could we stand together, please?